Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on our most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Fulton.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as an hour-long dramatic television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, Josh, I there's really nothing personal that I want to talk to you about today.
Nothing personal at all?
No, nothing personal at all, which I think would be a great episode for us to have here.
That would be good. Well, you know what I'll do then is, while you say nothing to me, I'll just turn my computer around so you can't see it and look up things about you on it.
Oh, okay. And then I will tell you about my how tough it is for me, you know, that you just don't understand that, you know, how hard it is to be a Nazi in today's times. You know, it's very trying. It's a tough environment for Nazis here in the 21st century.
So, you think so?
You know, I think they don't get a fair shake. I really don't.
Oh, so like to fair shake them.
Yeah. I think I'll shake them fairly this way and fairly shake them that way. And so,
well, it is nothing personal. I understand. So
exactly. So why don't you tell us about nothing personal?
All right. I'm 5'10".
No. About the episode.
The episode. Oh, sorry. Yes. Episode 20, you mean? Episode 20 from season one. That one.
Yes, that's it.
Nothing personal. It aired.
Oh, no, it's okay. I didn't take offense.
You didn't. Okay. Well, it is. It's truly episode 20. I'm glad we understand each other. But okay. It aired on April 29th, 2014. A very personal day for me. Oh no, I'm sorry. It's not a personal day. It was written by Paul Bozuski and DJ Doyle, who I think also worked my wedding at the reception.
Wiki.
Directed by Billy Gearhart. And let me tell you about nothing personal here, okay? How do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you catch a loyal Fury agent and pin it down? I told you earlier I couldn't sing, but
I know. Well, I get the gist.
It's kind of like the old-time Loudon singers that didn't sing. How do you solve a problem? All right, anyway. Well, what you do is you track her down, you take out her shadows, and then you ask her to help out Coulson. That's what Melinda May does anyway. She tells Maria Hill all about her situation, who, by the way, Maria Hill walking down the street, talking on a cell phone, not safe at all, by the way. You know, at least look where you're going crossing the street. I guess you got plenty of people watching out for you. But So while Coulson discovers all of Sky's clues that reveal the true loyalties of Warden, and we were wondering about that last week, about you know, what kind of clues she left. Mm-hmm. Turns out she was pretty thorough. That was good. Maria Hill brings the apple-chomping military to Providence, thinking that would help, I guess. I'm not sure what was going on there. But but our team has found the location of Sky and Ward, and now they have to find some way to get out before Sky's time with Ward runs out and our metal-headed friend Deathlok gets her to decrypt the hard drive and play right into Hydra's hands or tentacles or
like, what a bunch of suckers. Yeah. So.
That's right.
Very cool. Well, before we get into talking about the episode properly here, I just wanted to mention that there is another Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Art of Level 7 print that is now available. It's called Ragtag, and it is by artist... I just had the name here. Where is it? Is it Maria... No, it's not Maria.
Maria Hill? No. Maria... No, Emma Rios is who it is.
Emma Rios. That's it. Yeah. So, it's really interesting. I think it was back when we did our Captain America special. We talked about how S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra are two sides of the same coin, and that's kind of what this poster does. It's, It's got the silhouette. Well, not really. More than a silhouette, but it's got Ward on it. And the top half depicts, I guess, like a young Ward out in the wilderness with a moon that looks like the Hydra logo. And then reflected below it, kind of in the water, is a scene with the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents and the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo and everything like that. So, and Skye's face is down there and stuff. It's really, yeah. It's really interesting. It reminds me of the artwork by the guy that does Madman, and also he's doing the new Silver Surfer comic. I want to say Mike Grell, but that's not it. Let me. You tell me what you think, and I'll look this up.
Well, it's very another very comic booky, which I coined the phrase, piece of art, really great. And the images, the above and below images, really contrast each other with the feeling. So you can really feel this sense of conflict that Ward is having. We haven't even seen the episode yet, and I can already tell that's what it's going to be about. Mm-hmm. So it's a very well done piece. And the bottom image that's reflecting, like you said, is completely upside down and opposite of the top part. So it's a really interesting piece to look at from just about any different angle.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of cool. I hope they continue to do this next season.
I would really hope, well, if there is a next season.
If there is a next
dun,
season.
Dun. My wife's like, they are so going to cancel it. I'm like, we haven't heard about any of the other ABC shows that, you know, have or haven't been renewed. And my son's like what?
The Goldbergs.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah, see, I don't even... That's true. The Goldbergs does follow S.H.I.E.L.D., doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I'm very interested. It's a pretty funny show, but it hasn't been announced whether it's coming back or not either, so...
Okay, yeah, so Mike Allred is the artist that I feel that this reminds me of a little bit. Kind of like, because you said it's kind of cartoony, so... Mm-hmm. But people can check that out over at shopmarvel.com. Just do a search for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Ragtag, and you will find that.
Right.
And then also we want to thank all of our agents out there in the field. We have been asking you to tell your friends about us and help us get 100 likes by the end of season one. And, well, we're almost there. We're two episodes from the end of season one, and we have about 102 likes at the time of this recording. So,
and that's more than there are official agents in S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, so... That's pretty good.
That is true. That is very true. The webpage has been reclaimed from Hydra right now, which is good. It looks like there's a lot of rebuilding that has to go on. So if you haven't checked out our Facebook site, just head on over to facebook.com/agentspodcast or do a search for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files on Facebook, and you'll find us there. I think you guys might like what we've done with the page there. And, you know, while you're there, like us if you don't already do so, and, you know, leave us a note. And
share with your friends.
Yeah. It's nothing personal if you don't want to like us, I guess, but
no.
We would appreciate it, so...
Be nice. Yeah.
All right. So do you want to get into talking about this not personal episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? All right. So I found the I feel as we're going further on in the season here, the episodes are getting a lot more dense in terms of the material that there is to talk about, which really makes me just kind of upset that they – were so, I don't know, like stingy, you know, at the beginning of the season, it feels like. They were doing a lot of character setup, but now we're getting, everything's paying off, I guess. And I don't know whether that's just because we've gotten all that backstory or if they're really putting more in per episode. I haven't really, like, been able to quantify, you know, what it is.
No, and I don't know that we would be able to without being in the, you know, the writers' meetings and things like that, but... halfway through the season, the feeling of this show changed. Now, was that in the plan? Were they waiting for Captain America? Were they listening to the fans? Were they, you know, all of the above? I don't know. But regardless, the second half of the season has been, I think, just hands down above the first half. Can you be hands down above? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know.
But anyway, I'm impressed that if you keep up this momentum, then you're going to start. Well, I shouldn't say start. You're going to continue to gain your audience because it is slowly gaining an audience back.
I am I've talked to people at my office, you know, who gave up on it. I'm like, you have committed a grievous sin, and they're like, yeah, at this point, I'm not going to try to catch up now, but I'll catch up during the summer. So I'm like, well, hopefully there'll be a second season for you to come back to, because man, that would just I'm feeling, you know, just tense that they haven't announced anything about that. But who knows? You know, I'm thinking they're going to do something like, here's the final episode, and by the way, you know, everything paid off, and here's, you know, you will be getting a season two. So, but it's getting pretty late in the season. Most of my other shows, I either know that they are continued or they are canceled at this point.
Do you think, and we don't spend a whole lot of time talking about this, but I mean, do you think just the way that TV has changed now? I mean, seasons aren't really well defined. They have mid-season finales. They have big breaks in the middle. They have summer series that are just as big or bigger than regular series. Do you think that has something to do with it? I mean, maybe they really are holding back to see if this is going to be worth it next year. Or do you think it's all part of the marketing ploy? I mean, you know, ABC is owned by Disney, and Disney's had some pretty big other announcements this week. Maybe they don't want to outshadow them.
Yeah. Well, I think they're, well, they are kind of, the announcements would be kind of to the same group of people, I think. You know, I think Star Wars fans are also probably, you know, there are a lot of comic book fans within that group and stuff. But I don't know. It's, TV is still just a weird animal. You know, they don't know how to make use of ratings for online and time shift at this point still, really. So, you know, people might get a buzz, you know, but then, you know, there also are TV executives that are so insular, they really don't know what's going on. And it's like, well, if they don't like it, then.
Well, and one other thing is with, you know, social media now. When they do make an announcement, it can spread so big so fast that you almost don't have to plan too far in advance, I would guess. So,
yeah, I feel like I would have, like, did I miss an announcement? But I feel like I would, like you said, with social media, if there was an announcement, you know, I would have heard about it at some point. So, but I keep doing searches like every week just to see, was something announced this week? So,
all right. Well, I'm going to just send a message to Clark Gregg right now saying, hey, great to have you back next season. Right? We're having you back next season, right?
Oh, that's it. Positive. Right? Yeah. Just let's do it. Let's do a positive message enforcement there. We can send off tweets to everybody congratulating them on being renewed for season two. And then they'll go, wait, how do they know? We haven't told them. Oh, this is weird. And then maybe they'll just announce it because they figure everybody already knows.
Oh, okay. So you think I might actually trick them into some? Okay, I like this idea. That's even better than what? Okay, excellent. All right. Yeah. So while I'm doing that, let's get into nothing personal.
All right. So I think the first big piece that I saw, because there were a lot of characters that used the phrase or had scenes that said that, you know, what they were doing was nothing personal towards somebody else. Maria Hill being the first one. So how cool was that to see Shcherbatsky on the show? I mean, now that How I Met Your Mother's canceled, it was great to see Kobe Smulders on this show. I think I'd love to see her as a semi-regular. I thought she did a great job on this episode.
I would too, and I would like to see her put. I was a little disappointed in her confidence towards Coulson. I thought she would be a little bit more supportive, I guess. But I guess once she found out kind of what was going on, she was. But at first, I was just like, "Hey, come on, man! This is Coulson we're talking about."
There was a part where Coulson was talking to, I think he was talking to Tripp, and he says, "How you doing?" And Coulson was like, "I'm gonna have a major freak out in a little bit, but right now I'm holding it together." And I turned to my kids and I was like, "Major freak out," which is a joke from How I Met Your Mother. And of course, I wouldn't have even thought about that if Kobe wasn't on the show. So I thought that was this episode had a lot of good humor. I thought that, because the tension was so high, they resolved everything with that kind of trademark style Joss Whedon humor, like we saw in The Avengers and we've seen in his other TV series and stuff like this. When the stakes are really high, you pay off the tension with then a little joke afterwards. So, but
So we did that in this episode, for sure.
Yeah, I thought there were several good ones. So Maria is now presumably working with Tony Stark. She's talking on the phone with Pepper Potts, which I thought was great. There was the whole exchange with her when she was walking, just describing these people that were shadowing her. It was great. And so May kind of, you know, outs her and lets her know what's going on. And then, like you said, she led Talbot's team, which I'm still kind of trying to figure out why. What was her end game for that, to Talbot's team to Providence, which is, as we've been told, is this big super secret base? My initial thought, now, there wasn't anything that specifically said this in the episode that I just missed, was there?
I don't think so, because I was kind of wondering the same thing. As soon as she came in, I'm like, wait, why did she bring him?
Do you have an idea? What are your thoughts?
I don't. I'm not sure. I mean, other than she really didn't trust Coulson, and I would say, you know, based on what we kind of found out at the end of the episode, maybe she had some reservations about what he was really doing. Maybe she did kind of think he was going loopy. Mm-hmm. That's all I could think of. Otherwise, I'm not sure why she wouldn't just come with May, or just show up by herself or something. But
so that is a good point. That, you know, she may not have trusted him, but then why not? I mean, I don't know, why involve the Air Force and, you know, get the Special Forces group?
The other only thing I could think of is, you know, she doesn't have the resources in order to get there and get in,
right,
which doesn't seem real likely if it's Maria Hill. But she's not really with S.H.I.E.L.D. anymore, you know? So,
well, Stark's got more toys than you can shake a stick at, too. So,
right.
Which, now, my wife made that connection as well. She said, well, maybe Maria needed, you know, the military's, you know, toys and stuff like that. And I said, yeah, to get up there initially, they ended up leaving on the same plane that Coulson had gotten from Ward when he came back. So the plane that Coulson and the other subgroup of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, Fitzsimmons and Tripp, are flying around in, that's the plane that Ward and Garrett and Hand flew off on that went to the fridge and then came back to the base. So I find it's interesting. Everybody's kind of shifted around their modes of transportation. But
they're all still flying, though. So
yeah. Well, it would suck. It's like, all right, well, we don't have a plane. So, all right, well, I guess we're going to drive. And then it would be a really, really boring episode. So, but my thought about Maria.
Lola, it's not boring. I want to see Lola in action more. We did in this one episode.
Oh, we did. Yeah, that was great. And I'm afraid that we may not be seeing Lola in action anytime soon now. So after her little crash at the end.
Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. will take care. Oh, never mind.
Yeah. But so my thought with Maria was that maybe, okay, so remember she was talking about how Congress was all over her at the beginning, and she's like, oh, I just need a lobotomy, you know, from the, you know, insanity of the congressional hearings and stuff like this. So I'm wondering if May gives her the information about Coulson and his team being up at Providence Base. So she's like, all right, well, I know that Talbot is looking for rogue S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, so maybe she was making a deal with Talbot and his group. It's like, you know, hey, I've got four rogue S.H.I.E.L.D. agents. I'll give them to you. You know, I need to get and this base, right? So that's something that she's giving him, and it's like, you guys get off my back and leave me alone.
Oh, so you think she was trying to just get rid? You know, that makes a lot more sense. See, I didn't make that connection, though. They should have made that a little more clear, because now I kind of think that's what it was.
See, and there's a lot of things like that where it's like, you think about it for a little bit. It's not explicitly said in the show, which is why I'm glad we can get together and talk like this, because it kind of helps hash things out. The other element that I was thinking about with that was, remember how Coulson was saying that Maria, you know, was still clinging on to her secrets? I found this really interesting. So basically, all of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been burned to the ground, right? Everything's been released. But Maria is still circling her wagons, trying to hold on to whatever secrets she has left and Fury's secrets. You know, Fury's dead, you know, protect Providence base and stuff like this. So maybe she wanted to get in and take, have the military help her in, but her goal was to actually get in and take something else out that we may or may not, you know, well, that either she did and we haven't seen it yet, or that she was going to and didn't, you know, get to, or something like that. So,
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see any indication of that at all. And right. At the beginning, it kind of showed that she was being followed and really annoyed by that. So that would make sense. They just didn't show anything that would make me think that.
So if you ever see, like, some weird Russian hipster following you and a woman who's texting on her phone that's not really texting, then maybe it's the FBI watching you.
I keep my eye out all the time.
Oh, while we're talking about the FBI, this reminds me of one thing I wanted to say the other week when on The Only Light in the Darkness, which was last week, right? That was last
right.
week's episode. So Simmons tells Audrey that they are with the CIA when they take her, and she realizes pretty quickly that they're S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, Simmons, being British, may not know this, but the CIA does not actually operate on American soil. Well, supposedly. They are not chartered to operate on American soil. They are a foreign intelligence gathering service, so they work outside of the country. The Federal Bureau of Investigations, the FBI, are the only ones that are sanctioned to work within the confines of the United States borders. So I don't know if that was, you know, meant to be done on purpose. I mean, it just seems like it's not a mistake per se. It's like a character mistake, right? That, you know, she just doesn't know, sort of thing, or she's just saying the first thing that comes to her mind, and that's, you know, not plausible. It would be her, like her saying, it's like, we're with the Coast Guard, come with us. It's like, really? Okay. So
with the Salvation Army.
Yeah, that would be a good one too. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of mention that I wanted to see that, because they're throwing around a lot of you know, initials of different intelligence organizations on the show. You know, trying to make S.H.I.E.L.D. seem like it's, you know, part of this larger intelligence gathering community and everything like that. So I just wanted to mention that. Anything else you want to touch on with Maria Hill?
No, I'm sure she'll pop up here just a little bit here. It was great to see her, and as a character, I like the actress, and I think it's a good connection to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see her take a more active role. What one, like the scene where she finally kind of agreed to help them out when she realized what was going on, and they all kind of gave each other those nonverbal cues, like, hey, you know, we're about to get in a fight, and Coulson's unbuttoning his coat, and that was really cool. So I'd like to see kind of more of that kind of stuff with her being a really active, obviously strong agent.
Physical.
not necessarily physical strong, but I mean just yeah. A smart, strong, capable agent, because that's obviously why she's in so close with Fury.
Well, and you said, you know, like nonverbal cues, but the thing that she said to Talbot, like, I think she was totally telegraphing her moves to kind of get Coulson on the same page as her.
Uh-huh.
Talbot's there, you know, barking his orders and stuff like this. And Hill says, okay, knock yourself out. That was like the last thing she said. And then there was that kind of look between her and Coulson. And then, bam, then they start fisticuffing.
Okay, nonverbal cues and puns. How about that?
And puns, yes.
Yes, okay.
Always good, so. All right, so Melinda May, we kind of got the payoff from last week's teaser at the end, you know, right at the beginning here. We don't have to wait too long for this, which is cool. I'm glad they're really keeping stuff moving along. They're not trying to draw out any mysteries over, you know, multiple episodes or things like that.
They've been drawing out the mysteries.
And now I had a couple questions for you about May's motivations here. Obviously, she she still knows some stuff that she hasn't revealed to Coulson. Because
she knows a ton of stuff, I take it. But go ahead, continue.
Right. So under Fury's orders, there's a whole, she is at another level of knowledge than Coulson. They are peers in the sense that Coulson knows a bunch of stuff, she knows a bunch of stuff, and she's been asked to kind of do oversight on Coulson here. And he just doesn't know that, you know, she, you know, her mission encapsulates his mission so much. Like, he thinks that he's directing her, but she's kind of, you know, got more knowledge around and about him. So when we come back, I think it was in the second act, and there's this grave that's being dug up. First thing I thought was, oh, my God, she has gone and dug up Nick Fury's grave. Because the last thing that she told Hill was, because Maria Hill's like, and I don't buy it when she says it, you know, like, I believe Koenig when he said Fury's dead, even though we knew Fury wasn't dead. But, like, Maria Hill's like, oh, yeah, Nick Fury's totally dead. It's like, what? You're just saying that. And what May says is, I'll believe it when I see it. So I'm like, oh, my God, she's gone and dug up Nick Fury's grave. But that's not what happened. I don't know. Did you think that? It sounds like you probably didn't.
No, yeah. My first thought was that it was Fury's grave. But then they showed Coulson. But then I wondered what she was doing in there.
Well, yeah. So what would make her think to dig up his grave? And,
ooh,
oh, wow, you know, he's not in there, obviously, but, oh, I'm going to find a USB stick, because it didn't appear that she knew what was on there. So my next thought was like, oh, so she's grabbing some information that she knows, you know, can be used to get something. But then she seemed really unfamiliar with it, and she was like kind of shocked at what she found. And, of course, we didn't get to see what she found until the teaser at the end of the episode. Which we'll get to in a little bit, but so I don't want to spoil that part yet. But
for me, I didn't feel like she knew what was on it, but I did feel like she knew it was there. So I don't think that
she knew something was in the grave.
Yeah, I don't think it just occurred to her to go look. I think she knew. So you know, she went there specifically to get whatever it was that was in there.
Yeah. I guess I'm trying to figure out, like, why would she even, I mean, you know, we don't, that's the thing, we just don't know what she knows, but why would you even think to do that? Because there was nothing that said, you know, oh, you know, I'm going to go.
Well, you know,
dig,
I mean, the other option is.
Was there something in last week's episode about digging something up, though? I want to say somebody said something about that.
I don't remember. But you know, I mean, yeah, I guess the other possibility of why she might look there, not so much, maybe she didn't know all along that there was something in there, but she did know that there actually was a grave for Coulson. So in trying to dig up clues, she might say to herself, well, you know, he's got a grave and I know there's nothing in it because he's there. So
sure.
So that might be an indication of something's being hidden in it. Otherwise, why have it in the first place? But when I was watching it, it didn't feel to me like she was surprised because, you know, she pops up out of that grave, which was an awesome scene, by the way. She pops up out of the grave like, oh, yeah, okay, here's what was in there. Here's what I was looking for. I knew it was going to be in there. But it's when she watched it that she was surprised.
Right.
So maybe she knew there was something going on, but she didn't know the full truth.
Yeah, that's – yeah, I just don't know. I mean, that was – It was weird and a little disjointed because it kind of threw me for a minute and it took me a second to regain my bearings. And again, it was kind of funny because this guy comes up and is like, huh. So, yeah, so like I said, the information she found in there was really important to the ongoing kind of plot of the series this season. So we'll get back to that in a few minutes. The next big thing that we saw in terms of relating back to the the title of the episode, Nothing Personal, is the whole Agent Ward, Agent Sky thing. This, I thought, was a fabulous payoff for the stuff we saw last week. I could not have dreamed that they would take it this far. And, I mean, I found myself, like, shouting at the TV and filling in all of the expletives that Sky seemed to have left out for whatever particular reason. I think she said freaking, and that was about as bad as it went. I was like, they need to just go TVMA right now and let her go. That was a great sequence. Both the scene in the diner where he is unaware of the whole thing, and then when he handcuffs her in the bus, and there's the whole, you know, everybody's like being just totally honest, and he's like, you know, hey, it's nothing personal, but it is personal, but he's trying to play it off that it's not. I think that's my opinion on that, on his take. That.
Yeah, well, I think he believes that. And you know, that art print we were talking about and the previews for next week, it also kind of leads me to believe that's where they're going now. Mm-hmm. You know, from the time that he supposedly killed Agent Hand until now, you know, I've been going back and forth. Is he good? Is he bad? Is he S.H.I.E.L.D.? Is he Hydra? And is there something else going on? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, is this all in someone's plan? Clearly not Coulson's plan. That's who
Coulson
originally
saw.
Oh yeah. But somebody else's bigger plan. Or what it feels like now is really Ward is just, you know, he's struggling. He's got that conflict. Mm-hmm. Yes, he was a dedicated Hydra agent this whole time. And mm-hmm. yes, he was loyal to Garrett and doing what Garrett said. But he's not a bad person. He really believed what Garrett was selling him. Because as soon as Sky called him a Nazi, that really struck something in him.
That was, I mean, again, you know, just to have some scene like that for these actors to work with, I mean, that was beautiful. And the fact that they had the whole bit at the diner where she was asking, what was the longest you were undercover? And he's like, 6 months. It was really tough. And he's been undercover a lot longer than that now with this team. And you know, that's we're seeing the cracks, right? I mean, he got involved.
Now, wait, it's been about 6 months, hasn't it? Maybe a little bit longer than that, I guess.
I'm gonna say
in real time.
Yeah, I'm going to say it's kind of real time. You know, we're talking like 8 months or whatever here, maybe.
Oh, because it was funny when he was saying that, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, he's talking about, like, right now. He's been undercover that long. That was my first thought, but maybe you're
interesting.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't even put that together. Yeah, because he rolled it right into whatever he was talking about with the Russian thing. But, yeah, that's a good point. There was everybody had, again, they were lying with just enough truth there to kind of, you know, cover stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Also, did you notice in the diner sequence, Sky had her three packets of Splenda lined up in the same way she did when she was hacking with Mike Peterson?
Oh my gosh, no, I didn't notice that.
It's a little thing. So she had the three packets there. She also had like three cards lined up in her van at some point. I want to say in the first or second episode when she was doing a hack.
Interesting little detail.
I think it's like a little OCD thing she's got where she just kind of, you know. Or at least, you know, when I'm doing hacks, that's what I got to, you know, line everything up right there on the table next to it. So,
you know, you got to wait for things to download, you know. That's
No, you just start the hack and then you get up to 35,000 feet. What she meant is that you start the hack and then you get really high. But I don't think they quite understood what she was talking about there. So, but anyway, going back to the stuff about Ward, I do feel he's been a Hydra agent. He's the bad guy, but he is definitely having, you know, second thoughts about it. I'm hoping they do not resolve that this season. I feel like this is something that needs to, it's come on pretty quickly at the end of the season here, but, you know, he's been bad the entire season. It's just we haven't known it. We've only known it here in the last, quarter of the season, I guess.
Well, I don't think it would be very believable if they resolved it by the end of the season. I mean, they've only got two episodes left. If they resolve it that fast.
Right.
I mean, first of all, he's done, you know, some heinous crimes here killing innocent people, and he was people he was supposed to be loyal to. And so, I would feel a little bit cheated, I think, if they actually solved it by then. I think it'll be part of the finale, I hope.
I mean, I think that he might make the decision to come back, but Coulson, as we have discovered here in the last little bit, you unless you're Skye, which, I don't know, she's got his eye or something like that, because she wronged him, and he turned her, let her turn back around pretty quickly, but he's pushed May away, and with Ward, who has done things, 10 times worse than I think what Coulson feels May has done, he's going to push Ward away. It's like, no way can you come back into my group. Like, absolutely not. So,
yeah, that's one of the reasons I think it wouldn't be very realistic
with all the flying cars and cyborg assassins and stuff like that. It's what you mean.
Yeah, point taken. but even realistic for the characters, especially like you said, how he's treated May. But maybe he'll find out a little bit more about Ward's background. This is all just speculation, but if he finds out a little bit more about Ward's background and why he is like he is, mm-hmm. and he knows Garrett, because he knows Garrett, so he knows that could be a huge – that obviously is a huge influence. Mm-hmm. So maybe that'll persuade him to show him some forgiveness.
So I missed not seeing Garrett in this episode up to a point, and then I realized it's actually a lot creepier having Deathlok there saying, okay, Garrett says you have 5 minutes. It's like – oh, crap, right. He's in communication with him right now. So yeah.
And now see, okay, so things like that make the episode, what was that episode called? I Spy?
I Spy, yep.
Yeah, where they kind of
discovered. Fourth episode. Very key episode now.
A very key episode, and it makes episodes like that much more important and satisfying. But there's still a bunch of episodes toward the beginning that were just probably not necessary. Mm-hmm. Too much character development. They could have crammed into maybe just one episode. But anyway, so continue.
Yeah, yeah. So there was one other thing I wanted to say about Ward here that I thought was really good. I feel like he totally believes his own story. I mean, it's... I was saying some of the lines that he or that were being said in that scene kind of before he said them just because it's one of those. Oh, if you're writing the scene, you kind of have to have your character say things in this way. Maybe it was I guess it was actually Deathlok who said this line, but it was where, he shot Ward and, Skye's like, that's fine. You can suffer. And it's like, no, he's going to die. And she's like, that's okay. But you're not a killer. And he's like, I'm not, maybe, but are you, and I'm like, yeah, that's, the dramatic questioning and stuff like that. It's, that's a tough call. It's like, just Skye let Ward die. At that point, it's like, almost. I mean, I think it was really close. But I
think so too. That's one of those hard choices. But we've talked about this many times. It kind of comes down to what is a hero, and whether or not Ward deserves it, whether or not he's the bad guy. A hero wouldn't allow someone to die like that.
Well, I think it would have been Ward's position. He could have been the hero if he just died so that, other people could live. That is where I think that would need to come in. But it.
In his head, he doesn't see it like that. He thinks he's right. He thinks he's on the side that's right.
And that's what I was going to say. That's what's kind of cool about this. It's not, that we don't have any of those mustache twirling villains about this, though Garrett is kind of close. Right, they are, at least in the episode where they were raiding the fridge, it was borderline kind of megalomania that Garrett was getting into, where he's like, oh, this is great, and he's finding all the toys. It's like, come on, everybody, let's go.
Well,
you know,
he's overconfident because he seems unbeatable right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's got just about everything he needs at his disposal. So, you know, you get that little cockiness the bad guys have when they're winning.
But Ward has totally bought into this. I mean, I honestly feel like, and the way that it was acted here, I totally feel that he believes everything he was telling Sky. It's one of those things where, you know, the bad guy is really, he's not evil. He just believes that what he's doing is right. And it's the goal of the people working on the show is to not, you know, make him just look like he's some crazy raving lunatic. I mean, unless that's really what you want to get, but that you've got a guy who is honestly believing that his actions are doing the right things, and he is willing to take risks or costs that your good guys feel are too much. You know, Ward is like, well, you know, if people die in our cause, so that we can succeed, well, you know, that's the price that we pay, and other people feel that price is too high, and that's where, you know, everybody in the audience, I think, has to take that line and decide, you know, are they really doing something that's that bad, or, you know, are they really evil, you know, things like that, and Ward has totally bought into that, and I think we're going to see a lot more about his decision-making process next week based on the little clip at the end of this week's episode, which I'm looking forward to.
Yes.
So let's see. We brought him up a little bit already. Deathlok was back.
Yes.
I was not too impressed with what he had to do, though. Like I said, it was a great purpose that he served, and he's not going to attack Sky. He's going to attack Ward, much in the same way that when Coulson pulled out the truth serum, he didn't give it to Sky. He gave it to Ward. I thought there was an interesting parallel there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hadn't thought of that one. That is an interesting parallel. But see, Deathlok's got that kind of, you know, the nothing personal thing, too. He's not really doing it for Hydra, I don't think.
Well, he is totally... Okay, sorry. Go ahead and finish what you're going to say, because I'm going to disagree.
Well, I mean, maybe, and you would be able to convince me easily if I just think he's doing it because he thinks he has no choice.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say that it's not that he's not doing it for Hydra, because he's definitely not doing it for Hydra, but it's a totally personal. What do I want to say? You know, he's totally doing it for himself, but, well, not really for himself, for his kid. They have, S.H.I.E.L.D. was protecting his kid, but now we know that it's probably Hydra, and they can get to his son. And of course, we've seen that the people behind the typing in his eye are threatening his kid. So he is probably more than aware. Like, I don't understand when Sky says... you know, we can protect him. It's like, how are you going to protect him from, you know, as soon as you've mentioned that, someone, you know, now knows that. So, like, idea is just burned.
I'm not even sure where she was going with that. I mean, she has no power to protect him, and obviously S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't. And so I think she was kind of just grasping at straws, trying to appeal to his sense of fatherhood and goodness that she believes is still in him.
Right. But I feel, I mean, and again, kind of going with the nothing personal title, it's totally personal for Mike. He, you know, his family is at risk, as, you know, kind of looking at it, Coulson's family is at risk here, too, being all these agents that he has kind of been, you know, tasked with protecting and stuff like that. So on one level... You've got the character saying it's not personal, but it actually is. Very, very same for Ward, too, I think, because he may not realize it, but he really is kind of taken with Sky, and I think that emotional reaction is going to affect his his character over the next couple episodes.
Okay. Well, I would not disagree with what you said, but I think I would maybe add a little addendum to two things you said. One is, you know, when he says nothing personal, I mean, it's not anything against, say, Sky. You know, I mean, he's not doing it because he dislikes Sky or wants anything bad against S.H.I.E.L.D. or Sky.
Sure.
It's personal for him.
Not like
because
he
of his son. Right, exactly.
Right.
And then I forgot the other thing I was going to add your addendum to.
Okay.
But well, but I mean, I don't think it was personal against Sky. So that's kind of why I feel like maybe that's why he said it.
Okay.
I don't know. I think he feels so backed into a corner now that he really doesn't feel like there's any hope. I mean, he'll just do whatever they tell him to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems like he's like standing up to Deathlok after the whole heart attack incident.
Ward is?
But Ward is, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the other thing I was going to say, is I think he realizes how he feels for Sky. Big time.
Yeah. But do you think he's trying to guard that from the other Hydra agents?
Yeah, probably. I guess so they won't use that against him or her.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he does know how he feels.
Yeah. I mean, I was just going to add, I see a lot of false bravado kind of going up against Deathlok because, I mean, Deathlok keeps coming up with these weapons that, you know, we didn't know he had, right? So he's got super strength and everything like that, and he's got missiles, and he's got this little... It's kind of like the Widow's sting that Natasha uses in Captain America, the Winter Soldier. You know, that little disc that she throws on the Winter Soldier's arm. That's kind of what the thing that Deathlok used that reminded me of it. But, you know, at the end of the whole confrontation there, Ward's like, you know, don't ever do that again or I'll kill you. It's like, what? I mean, seriously?
Yeah, because you did so well that time.
it's kind of ridiculous. So, I'm really interested to see where this is going to play out because I feel like I'm kind of torn because I feel like it would be nice to see Ward redeemed in some way because, I mean, he's infinitely more interesting now than he was 6 episodes ago. I mean, there was really, I guess, no depth to him, and now we've got all sorts of stuff. You know, they've teased us with some backstory in the Well episode when he got the Berserker Staff, and it sounds like that's going to pay off a little bit next week. But I'm kind of wondering, is Mike Peterson ever going to really be able to be redeemed and still be the Deathlok character? Like, Ward and Deathlok are kind of in the same position at this point. They're in the same position, but they're in there for different reasons. I think Ward believes that he's doing the right thing. Mike Peterson is feeling pressure to do the thing.
So are you saying that Mike Peterson has done things that are as morally wrong as Ward has?
No, I guess I'm saying that they're working for the same team right now and working towards the same goals, but Ward is doing it because it's something he believes in while Mike is kind of being pressured into it.
Yes.
I'm seeing that. So basically I'm seeing two paths that are headed towards the same goal. But they're coming from different angles because of the backstory of the characters. So what I'm wondering if the writers and the producers are going to be doing with this is make it look like, all right, well, we've got two characters that both started out as good guys on the show, right, working with the team, and now we find out through either fate or the fact that they're, wanting to behave this way or have always behaved this way, that they are now... morally heading in a completely opposite direction than the good guys on the series.
Right. Okay. I see that, but I see Deathlok being able to be redeemed a heck of a lot more than Ward.
Well, see, that's what I'm wondering is that now that we've gotten in this position where it's like, okay, can Ward be redeemed? Is it possible to have Ward redeemed because of, you know, the power of love? Or can Mike be redeemed because he kills the people, or, you know, the people that are controlling him are no longer in the picture. So, you know, he frees himself from his own prison that he's kind of stuck in there so he can save his family. I think, and again, I'm just kind of thinking out loud about what the Deathlok character is too, and what, you know, what he is more in the comics and everything like that is, I think, like you're saying, it would be more likely that Mike would be redeemed, but I think that actually what they may do is pull the rug out from under us and redeem Ward and continue to send Mike down the dark path.
Dark path. I can see that.
Just as a, you know, kind of a, just to mess with everyone's expectations for it.
That's a tragedy story. You know, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That would make perfect sense. And then in the end, the way, I mean, you know, when in a tragic story kind of like that, what will happen is he'll sacrifice himself to redeem himself.
Yeah. So, but, you know, it'll be nothing personal, I guess. So now, also under our notes here for in the nothing personal category, you have Talbot's apple.
Okay, maybe this is personal. I don't know. I'm just going to say. And straight off the bat, I will come out right now and admit to you that I have issues with people eating crunchy things.
Okay.
Okay. I just – there's something about it. It is nothing personal. I often have to get up away from a table that someone is eating something especially crunchy. Because I'm just like,
really? Wow, I sense some granola in our future at some point.
Oh, I tell you what. The scene with Talbot, who, you know, I don't really know much as a character. He certainly seems like an unlikable character, but...
Yeah, they haven't done much with him.
No. The scene where he was, I guess, what'd you call that, interrogating or... Intimidating, I guess, maybe more.
Yeah, that's good. Yep.
Fitzsimmons and who else was in there with him? Were they all in there?
No,
I don't
think
Coulson was in there with him. It was just Fitz and Simmons, wasn't it?
No. I wanted to say that was Hill. Oh, yeah. It's right. It was Fitz and Simmons. Yes.
See, this is how distracted I was. So he grabs an apple and he starts chewing it. And he doesn't just, you know, take a bite. He's sitting there and he's eating it the way I hate.
He demolished that apple.
He took a bite and sucked the juice out.
Yes.
But it was great. It was a great scene because it made that scene that much more uncomfortable, you know, that he's sitting there chomping this apple, looking down on them. So I just wanted to point out that one particular scene because it just made me cringe, mostly because of the apple. But they didn't have to throw that apple in there, so I thought that was kind of cool.
It was an interesting prop that the actor decided to use for the scene, definitely.
Yes,
so.
Yes. Anyway, okay, enough about that apple.
That's
Maybe
great.
That was a product placement for computer.
Well, we're getting kind of low on time, so I want to kind of jump ahead here in our notes. I just want to talk about the end, the tag at the end after the last commercial break. You want to set this up for us?
The tag at the end after the very last commercial break?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when Coulson goes back into the hotel room.
You have to remind me. What are we talking about here?
So he walks into the hotel room and
there's the person
back in the shadows. Okay. And okay, I was thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to put Fury in this episode too. But it wasn't Fury.
Okay, so you're just talking about that one little scene. Okay, I thought there was something more specific you mean.
Oh, no,
so,
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay, so May, she comes back, right? She doesn't even give him a chance to talk, right? She just, she gives him what she got in his own grave. Do you think he knows there's a grave?
I'm sure he knows there's a grave. I mean, he seems to mention again in this episode that you know, say hi to Stark. Oh, wait a second. He thinks I'm dead. It's which is terribly, terribly sad that he cannot talk to any of his old friends because they all think he's dead. Unless, like, why not just go up and go, oh, hey, I'm back? Because that would probably beget all sorts of other questions. But, I mean, he was sad last week about that, not being able to talk to Audrey. It's like, it kind of seemed melancholy when he was talking to Hill about Stark this week. Anyway, so May comes back and, yeah, and has the flash drive from his grave.
And that flash drive reveals the truth that he's been seeking all season. The truth that, well, quite frankly, we've all been seeking all season since Coulson died in the Avengers. The truth about Tahiti and who was behind Tahiti and who was in charge of Tahiti.
Mm. Okay. Who?
Okay. The head of the Tahiti Project is people. Tahiti is people. No, wait. No. Coulson. The head of Tahiti is Coulson. Agent Coulson was in charge of the Tahiti Project.
Get your paws off me, you damn Hydra agents. Yeah, that... I was not expecting that. But then, of course,
yes,
as the
bravo.
Minute it started, I was like, oh, obviously. You know, I gave the golf clap, right? I'm like... Brilliant. Of course, that is the perfect thing to do. It's like, who's in charge of this? Well, it was you, and you just don't remember. I'm like, that is awesome.
It is awesome. And the other thing that, I mean, not only did I not expect it, because I'm clearly, if you're a regular listener to our show, I'm clearly not always right on the ball with those things because I get so into them. But I didn't even see any speculation about that on the internet. I mean, I didn't hear anybody going, well, maybe it was Coulson in charge of the product. I mean,
yeah,
maybe
I mean,
was,
cause
but
everybody's
I didn't
thinking
see
higher up the chain, right? Okay, so if it's above Fury, who's above Fury? What was it, Alexander Pierce? There's this other facility, this guest house. Like, who's in charge of that? Well, that's.
Was it Hydra? Was it. Yeah, exactly.
Because Coulson was working, you know, with Stark and the Avengers and stuff like that. So, you know, it's nobody thought about that kind of stuff because. We've kind of seen where Coulson's come from. I think
right.
If we hadn't had that speculation might have cropped up. I would be interested to go back and do a search and see if I can find anybody that speculated that now.
And there may have been. I didn't see any, but there may have been. But so yeah, that was great. That was a nice surprise. I'm still not entirely sure what the entire scenario was with Coulson himself. Because it still seems like Fury gave the order to bring Coulson back
right.
Using that.
Okay, so yeah, so the way that I read this scene is Coulson was working at the guest house on the guest host. So the H in Tahiti may stand for host. The A in Tahiti may stand for Avengers because it was a project to bring back a mortally wounded Avenger, which is interesting. You know, so it was something that was tied into his Avenger project, into Fury's Avenger project. He put Coulson in charge of this, and Coulson said, hey, you know, this is not going to work. We found out that, you know, people that have died, and then we bring them back, they get psychotic because they can't cope with it. So it's not necessarily a physical rejection, but it's their brain just could not wrap itself around the idea that they were killed. And, you know, imagine yourself remembering you dying, like you remember yourself being shot or stabbed or whatever it was. And then you wake up and you realize you're not dead, but that really happened to you. And it's gotta be like the worst kind of post-traumatic stress disorder that you could have, I would think. So he basically said, you know, this, I don't recommend this. And you should never do this, and you should, you know, stop the whole project, which the project may or may not have stopped. It looked like it wasn't stopped because they were still getting stuff, but we don't know kind of the time frame of this. And once he used it on Coulson, because it was clearly Fury that gave the order to bring Coulson back. We kind of know that from previous episodes of people talking about Coulson's return and everything like that. Things that May said or that Maria Hill said or that the doctor said or things like that. So that's why they decided that they also needed to zap his memories so he could not remember all this traumatic stuff that would cause him to go.
And it said in didn't he say in trials, people that they did better if they didn't know.
Right. And so this makes me kind of worry a little bit about Skye, but probably not too much because she didn't actually die. Right. So they were able to administer the stuff to her prior to her dying. She was like obviously really sick, but it would be like anybody else that was really sick and recovered. So maybe a different case for her. And obviously, there's some other mystery about Skye that we still don't know as well. So that's how that wraps into it. But I just loved Coulson's reaction at the end of this where he's watching this. You just dumped this whole heavy kind of explanation, like you said, that we've been waiting since the Avengers since we heard that he was coming back for the show. We want to know how did he come back and stuff like this. And he just kind of goes, huh. And that's the end of the episode. Again, a great use of humor you had this really heavy, dramatic revelation and then a little boom turn of humor at the end to kind of release you and send you off into the Goldbergs.
When you put it like that, just
yeah.
So. Yeah, that was a great ending and a great suspenseful cliffhanger for next week. I guess not a true cliffhanger, but it makes you just think in all the different directions it could go.
Yeah. So I am I feel like I've kind of gotten all my answers, but I'm also interested to see where else they're going to go with this. I mean,
yeah. Well, now we have more questions, different questions. You know what I mean? So, yeah. and that's good. That's what we want. That's how you keep the story progressing. You answer some of the questions as you go, but along the way, you're like, well, okay, so what's going to happen? Is it Skye? Is Coulson going to lose it? Why did he decide to use that stuff anyway? So there's still a lot of questions. It's good.
Wow. There was definitely a lot of a lot of stuff to talk about in this episode. I feel like there's some other stuff that we may not have touched on. I don't know if there was, if there was anything else that, you saw in this episode that you wanted to touch on. I've got a couple of references. I know I've already talked about a couple of these, but
Real quick, just out of curiosity, we've always speculated that the clairvoyant, is not speculated. I guess we were confirmed. The clairvoyant is Garrett, but he's not the only one keeping an eye on, say, Deathlok. Because he's giving the orders. It said, what did it say? Garrett says time is up. So somebody else is typing things in and keeping an eye on Deathlok. It's not always Garrett. So, was that Reyna? Was that someone else? So other people obviously knew much more about the clairvoyant too.
Yeah. But, I mean, I know that, Garrett has, claimed, to be the clairvoyant, but, I also feel like, again, just because it's Hydra, if there's not just one person in control, and I feel that more so now. I went and saw Captain America, the Winter Soldier again over the last weekend. And, Pierce is in charge of a whole big section. Garrett's in charge of a whole other group, and they're not necessarily working on the same projects at the same time. So I definitely see that there's a lot of people that could potentially be the clairvoyant. It's like kind of just keeping up appearances that there's always someone in charge, but there really isn't anyone ever in charge of in total. Like the Red Skull was kind of in the first one, but with Hydra, the way they are now, it's like they're all these little splinter groups and everybody's kind of got their own projects and stuff that they're working on.
Yeah, well, and I think like Ward, there's going to be people in Hydra that probably don't realize exactly what they're doing. I think they're doing the right thing, but they're maybe realizing they're not. So it would be hard to hold together one solid group of Hydra, I think.
Yeah.
The way they came to power.
I want to get a little more backstory about Hydra. And it sounds like we're going to get a little bit of John Garrett stuff next week. So that may lead to a little bit more of like, why is Hydra doing, you know, how is Hydra done what they've done and infiltrated more? There's a lot to tell with that portion of it. And again, great place for a season two, you know, to go. It's like, give some background on Hydra. One thing, I think I sent you an email this week. Remember how the other week Coulson was talking about how he didn't want to be an agent of nothing, that he was an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and he was screaming that?
Yes.
I was flipping through some issues online this week, just looking at some different Nick Fury, you know, covers and stuff like this. And there was a series called Secret Warriors that I hadn't seen before, but it was subtitled Nick Fury, Agent of Nothing. It was after, I think, Secret Invasion or Dark Siege or something like that, about 8 or 10 years ago, when S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of broke down and Norman Osborn took over and there was a whole bunch of disarray in the Marvel Universe and stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of interesting that I hadn't seen anybody mention that in when I was looking around for, you know, references for that episode. So, but this week's references, I thought were actually few and far between. There were definitely references to the whole supporting cast from the Iron Man movies. You got Stark mentioned, Tony Stark, because that is where Maria Hill is working now. There's mention of Romanoff, who is Natasha, the Black Widow. Maria was talking to Pepper, who is probably Pepper Potts, the new CEO of Stark International or Stark Industries, and possibly the newest Iron Man. I don't know. She's got Extremis in her now, so I'm interested to see where that's going to go in the Iron Man storylines. But the one that really made me sit up and listen was Maria Hill talking about Congress. She's like, they are so childish. It's like, where is this fridge? What kind of people did you have in there? And who or what is a man thing? And the fact that they mentioned man thing, because I did not realize Marvel had the rights to man thing still, according to this little chart that's been making its rounds online. They've got all the different characters divided up, and it's like 20th Century Fox owns these guys, and Marvel Cinematic Universe owns these guys, and then here's a couple of characters down here on their own. I think Namor is sold off to somebody else. Well, Man-Thing is supposedly owned by Lionsgate Entertainment. Maybe not anymore. They had made one film about him like 3 or 4 years ago. He is basically a Swamp Thing. I think people are probably more familiar with DC Comics version, the Swamp Thing. Which is a big swamp monster. But the man thing is even a more hulking swamp monster, not very intelligent, and he burns people. He basically burns the fear out of people and uses magic and stuff like that. So the fact that they dropped a line about the man thing, which would be an interesting Monster of the Week episode for them to do at some point. But also there was some stuff I was seeing online this last week that people had brought up prior to this episode, linking the female soldier from Iron Man 3 that had the Extremis in her, the one that threatened Tony, I think it was like at a bar or something like that, as she was like interviewing him about something and then she turned on him. I don't know if you remember that scene or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the character's name that she was identified as, which I think was Ellen Brandt, is in the comic books Man-Thing's wife. And Man-Thing's wife has a scar on her face from where Man-Thing burned her.
Right?
Mrs. Thing, yes.
Mrs. Thing.
No, I think Mrs. Thing is Ben Grimm's wife.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, sorry.
Maybe it's just
Mrs. Hyphen Thing.
Mrs. Thing. But the character in Iron Man 3 also had a scar on her face that was not fixed from the Extremis, which repairs, you know, damage to the person. So there's a lot of speculation that Marvel was actually sowing seeds for Man-Thing stories back in Iron Man 3. Very interesting. And the fact that they mentioned Man-Thing this week, I thought was an interesting coincidence. We'll have to see. There don't seem to be a lot of coincidences in the Marvel Universe. They seem to be doing a pretty good job of planning stuff out. We'll see where this goes.
Yeah, that's a pretty subtle one, so we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. So, boy, that was, I mean, we had a lot of stuff to cover there. Again, I feel like there was a lot of other stuff that we could talk about. If there's, you know, if people out there are interested in continuing some of these conversations, Josh will tell us some of the places you can go to do that. But at this point, that's about all we've got for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
What are you saying? You want me to do the ending?
Sure.
If I come out, will you shoot me? Because then I won't come out.
No, you can come out. It's okay.
Okay. All right. Well, if you enjoyed this episode, then please make sure you leave us some feedback on iTunes. You can contact us by email at shield@randomchatter.com or on Twitter at Agents Podcast, or you can also get on our Facebook page, make more than 102 likes by going to facebook.com/agentspodcast #eatapplesquietly.
And be sure to check out the other podcast that Josh and I do here each and every week during the season for Arrow, the TV show from the CW called Green Justice and Arrow Podcast. And that is also available here on randomchatter.com. And make sure to tell your friends about us, because word of mouth is still the best way for you to talk. Actually, here's what you do. Go into your comic shop next week. And because New Comic Book Day is on Wednesday, it's the day after S.H.I.E.L.D., so you can go in and, A, talk to your friends about the episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. you just watched the night before, and then just talk really loudly about this awesome podcast that you heard, and make sure that people know where they can get it. See notes above that Josh just read.
Yes.
So, yeah. Anyway, so for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Quietly signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.